I have a trading account. Trading account spits out positive cash flow. Positive cash flow goes to me buying real estate. I buy positive cash flow real estate, which then goes into another short-term rental bucket. And then that goes back into my trading account. So I have three different types of real estate, like short-term rental, long-term rental, and then I have my trading account. It's what I call the triangle of wealth.
This is the naked truth about real estate investing. Your host, Javier, has already been through all the brain damage of this business, so you don't have to go through it. That way, you're not exposed to all of the risk of losing your shirt or getting caught with your pants down. So let's dive into another No BS episode right now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show, to the naked truth about real estate investing. And today I got my friend Omar Khan all the way from Canada, and he's outside of Toronto. He is a real estate investor. He has commercial properties. He has short-term rentals, and he also does trading. He trades the stock market. So he's this triangle where he trades the stock market, puts it into commercial real estate, then commercial real estate gives him short rentals. He'll explain that later today, which is pretty cool. So he's been to 2008, he's been to 2020, not the crash, but basically the how volatile the market is. You know, even now the market is very volatile. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk a little bit about real estate in Canada and, you know, what he does and how he kind of structures, how he makes money, and to help him fund his real estate projects and his real estate projects helping fund his trading. It's really cool. Have a great, I'm looking forward to having a great conversation with Omar, but Omar, go ahead and just take it away.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, Javier. I really appreciate it. My name is Omar Khan. Guys, I've been investing for almost 25 years. I'm a real estate investor and I'm a stock investor, which gives me a unique perspective on how to generate capital. And I'll give you a bit about my background story. I grew up here in Toronto, Canada. My parents were immigrants. We had no money growing up. So when I graduated college, we call it university up here, I graduated with a lot of student loans. And I had two choices because I had no help from my parents. Either pay it off and figure things out or be broke for the rest of my life. And I hated being broke. I had experienced enough of being broke at that point in time where I'm like, I don't want any more of this. You know what I mean? I don't know if you've experienced being broke, but it sucks. It's a long time. I'm like, I'm done with this. So I started experimenting with trading back in the late 90s. And I was like, well, how do I do this? What do I do? And back then, the internet was really not there. So you couldn't YouTube stuff. You couldn't just look it up. So I started experimenting, and what I stumbled upon was what today I call the theta strategy. It is when I agree to buy stocks for less than they're trading for, and I get paid for it. I know it sounds like a very weird concept, and I wish I could do this on real estate, but I can't. I can definitely do it in the stock market. And now flash forward to 2008. 2008 made me realize that never again in my life will I own one asset category. So the stock market went down by about 50%. Now, of course, real estate also got hit really, really badly. I get it. But I started buying real estate in 08, 09 because I never wanted to be just beholden to one asset category. I only understand real estate, or I only understand the stock market. I would say, no, I understand both so that I can objectively look at where I can allocate my money the best. So anyways, I was able to retire about 9 years ago or so. And then 3 years ago, I started theta trading to teach other people how not to be broke. The great thing with the strategy that I use is I'm done in 30 minutes a day. And I can enjoy the rest of my day. And I know what my risk is. The worst thing that's going to happen to me is I'm going to own a stock I want to own. So yeah, that's my story. I just basically took all my money from trading. I bought real estate with it, cash flow positive real estate, got myself in a position where I didn't have to work. And yeah, it's a good place to be.
All right. So let me back up a little bit. So your parents immigrated to Canada.
Yeah.
And I know we talked in the past, right? Before we had this interview, this podcast. And I think we kind of come from the same place where we're both Irish. We're both Irish.
That's right. Both Irish.
That's right.
Both Irish. Yeah, I'm absolutely. O'Dowd. You're O'Neill.
There you go. For sure. Right. No. So where'd your family immigrate from?
My parents immigrated from Pakistan in the 1970s to Canada. Canada had a big immigration boom. In Canada, the whole country is fueled off of immigration. If we don't have immigration, we're dead, our economy. So immigration is a big part of Canadian life. And the vast majority of people here are immigrants. Yeah. Okay. How was your story from Ireland?
Yeah, my story from Ireland. they ran out of beer, so they went to America to get more beer.
Oh, they got Irish whiskey, so you're good to go.
That's true. All right, that's one of the notes that I had here. Like I said, I gotta hit Omar with this one. But here's my second comment is when you were mentioning you got hit in 2008, right?
Yeah.
So now we are at 2022, right? Yeah. So kind of tell me, what do you see as a similarity? And then what do you see that's not as similar as 2008?
Yeah. So on the real estate side, in 2008, the credit lending standards were far, far worse, right? Like there was basically, you had your ninja loans, you had your declared income loans, your adjustable rate mortgages, your ARMs. And then you have these collateralized, you know, I know a lot of real estate investors don't know what collateralized options are, but you basically package these loans up and you sell them to sovereign funds around the world. So that was totally out of control. There was no regulation on that. So that was very different from today. So after 08, the US government implemented a lot of rules and lending procedures to make sure that this never happens again. So creditworthiness this time is much better than in 08. However, what is not as good is we did not have runaway inflation in 08. So there are similarities, but there are major differences. And until inflation is tame, these guys don't care. The Federal Reserve and Volcker, Jay Powell, Volcker was the last time this happened. Jay Powell is going to keep raising rates until this economy breaks or inflation comes down. So there are very lot of similarities, but a lot of differences. On the housing side, because of the lending standards and the changes that happened back then, I don't think it'll be as bad this time around. But, you know, if rates keep going up right now, we started this year off with Fed funds rate at 0.25%. Now we're at 4%.
You know? That's Canada. Canada.
No, that's the U.S. No, that's the U.S. Okay. Yeah, so you guys started off 0.25. Yeah, Fed fund rate. That's the rate that banks lend to each other overnight. Okay. Yeah. Like if you're bank A and I'm bank B, you're lending to me at a quarter point. I'm lending to you at a quarter point. Now we're lending to each other at 4%. Sometime next year in 2023, if you look at the dot plot, which is the Federal Reserve guidance on where rates are going to go, you're probably going to be north of 5%. So in the real estate market, there's going to be more pain to come. Real estate is a lagging indicator. It hurts after rates go up. The stock market hurts before rates go up because it's anticipating that. It's a forward-looking mechanism. So the real pain, I'll tell you, Javier, next year, a lot of differences. I don't think it'll be as bad, but there's more pain to come because rates are still going up.
So right now we're quoting everything that we're doing at a 7% interest rate. Every purchase we're gonna make, you know, it's pretty safe. You know, it all depends on the down payment and the type of loan, but just call it 7. It's possibly another rate increase in December, which is in a few weeks from now. And
there's definitely another one in December.
Right. And then one in Q1 of next year, right? So, you know, could it be 8%, right? Could it be 8.5% sometime next year, right? Could we go to 9%? And, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, but at some point within the next couple of years, I think we'll settle somewhere around 6, maybe 6.5, just kind of the traditional kind of where we've been, you know, throughout history.
I'll encourage you to take a look at the dot plot. The dot plot is something that it's a federal government document. So if you go to federalreserve.gov, it'll tell you which each of the Federal Reserve participants are anticipating interest rates at for 23, 24, 25, and beyond. So to your point, where they think further long-term interest rates are going post 25 is Fed funds rate between 2.5% and 3.5%. So you are correct. They are anticipating a decline, but still a lot more to go on the upside. Maybe another percent, maybe another 2%. Until inflation has come, they're going to keep going. But longer term, it's going down. And I'll tell you, in my opinion, the one major reason why. If you're the U.S. government, you owe $30 trillion. Okay, how you can't afford to pay it. What are you going to have rates at 5%? How are you going to pay it? If you have 5% at $30 trillion, you got to pay $1.5 trillion just in interest. There's no way they're going to be able to pay that. So what do? You have to drop rates. Yep, but you have to get this inflation thing under control first,
And it's true. So not just inflation, but how do you see like the world economy kind of stopping, right? All the production, all that through COVID, right? That's like something that we really hadn't seen in a very long time ever, right? Where you actually have production of, you know, raw materials or whatever. I mean, shoot, everything, right? Last Halloween, I made a post on social media saying, hey, guys, we're running out of candy. I had one of my buddies go to the local grocery store and he bought like $200 worth of candy. He's like, dude, you were lying. You're lying to me. I said, I wasn't lying. I was just making a joke, right? Saying we're shortage of candy for Halloween. So he went and he stocked up for his Halloween because he goes all out. But anyways, right? You know, the shortage of material, shortage of labor and all that, you know, just adds to the kind of the pain, right? But now talk to me about
that's exactly what's causing inflation. Shortages. We had supply chain shortages. The definition of inflation is very simple. It's too much money chasing too little goods and services. So in 2020, when the government printed so much money, now you have all the stockpile of money and you have supply chain issues, thus not giving us enough goods and services. So therefore, you have inflation. Too much money chasing too few goods. Like for me, I ordered a PlayStation 3, a PlayStation 5, like 2 years ago. I just got it this year. I ordered a G-Wagon in August of 2019. It still hasn't arrived. So those are supply chain issues, right?
So, hey, so if you get it in 2023, will it say that it was built 223 or 219?
No, I have to pay the 23 price and I don't get it. There's nothing else. You just pay the 23 price.
All right. Now we talked real estate, the difference in 2008, 2022. Now talk to me as far as like trading stocks and all that, right? Tell me about the difference in 2008. Also in 2020 that, you know, everything just tanked, right? That everybody thought the world was falling apart. And now it went back up and above. And now it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of very volatile right now. So kind of talk to me about those three markets.
Yeah. So again, the stock market, how it was in 2008 and 2009, it just fell apart. It was down by 50%. Stocks are no different than real estate. Okay. So in the sense that if you have a good property that makes a lot of money, it'll get rewarded. Same thing with the stock market. If you invest in a company that makes a lot of money, it'll get rewarded. Now, can it have bad periods of time? Yes, absolutely. But that is where the opportunity is if you know what you're looking for. This time is very similar to that time in terms of how much the market has pulled back stock-wise. But again, if you're not selling, you're not going to have a problem. The bigger problem is this whole inflation issue. Until inflation comes down, we're in trouble. But that, I think that'll be sometime next year.
All right. So you can make money in an up market, in a down market, in a sideways market in real estate, right? I know that, right? You just got to get the right purchase, the right strategy. Mm-hmm. And I just had a kind of a private mastermind a few weeks ago in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, where we had a few of our mastermind members there. And I just pretty much talked the whole time. Well, not the whole time. We had a lot of fun in the cabins in the mountains, but we only had about a 2-hour meeting. And I spoke for the majority of the time on creative ways on how to buy real estate here the next, next 6 months, year, how you can make a lot of money just being extremely creative, buying real estate. Well, it works out for the seller. It works for the buyer. It works out for everybody and you're making a killing. So tell me how you, with your platform or your strategy on trading, how do you make money, right? Or do you make money even if the market's going up or the market's going down?
No. So my strategy, I don't necessarily make money when the market's going down. My strategy turns into a hold strategy. So I have a very simple strategy. I have a trading account here. Trading account spits out positive cash flow. Positive cash flow goes to me buying real estate. I buy positive cash flow real estate, which then goes into another short-term rental bucket, hopefully. And then that goes back into my trading account. So I have three different types of real estate. I have my short-term rental, long-term rental, and then I have my trading account. So it's what I call the triangle of wealth. And it just allows me to keep going back and forth. So what happens in trading, the way that I invest is I make sure I listen to Warren Buffett rule. The worst thing that will happen to me is I own a high quality stock. Now, if I have to hold that for a long period of time, a year or two, I'm fine with it. But my first goal is to not lose my money. And there'll be years, and that's when years like this occur. But when you have good years in the stock market, there's years where I make a killing for years, right? But if things don't go my way, I always leave myself in a default position where I own high quality stocks. That's the worst that'll happen to me. And I'm okay with that. And I use a strategy called the naked puts and covered calls. If you want to learn more about what that is, I know it sounds weird. Just check out our YouTube channel at Theta Trading and you'll see I've done lots of videos on it. It's a great concept to understand. It's life changing once you understand how to do it. Financially anyways.
Let's see the YouTube video. It's TA Trading.
Theta Trading.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, we just started a YouTube channel. So I've done a couple of videos because this is what got me out of my poverty. Sure. And Javier, what it is kind of like think about it. Okay, let's say, for example, I want to buy Apple, okay? So I'm going to give you a real-life live example while we're doing this. So Apple is currently trading for $138, okay? So I have a choice. Either I can buy Apple for $138 because I've done my homework the same way that I would do homework on a real estate piece of property. I'll be looking, okay, here's the rents, here's the cap rate, here's my anticipated rent increases. This is what I think I can do. So you do your homework. So same thing with Apple. You look at the financial statements, you'll say, well, we're selling this many iPhones, this many Macs, et cetera, et cetera. And here's where I think the growth is. I think the stock will be worth $200, say, in a year or two from now. Okay, well, I have two choices. Like I said, I can buy it for $138 or I can sell something called a naked put. And that means I can simply agree to buy it, okay? So let's say I go to December. I'm going to go here to December 16th, okay? So about a little over a month away, I'm going to agree to buy it.
That's a lucky day. That's a lucky day, Omar. That's my birthday.
Is it? Why is that? There you go. That should be your first trade, my man. That is a lucky day. Yeah. That's how old are you turning this year?
Be 40, 44.
Wow. Yeah, we're getting old. Yeah, me too. I'm 47. So... Well, happy early birthday, December 16th. So let's say, for example, I agree to buy Apple on December 16th, okay? So I would sell a naked put, okay? So the market currently is paying me $5.25 for that, okay? So what that means is for every 100 shares, I get $525. And the worst thing that happens to me, Javier, is I'm agreeing to buy Apple for $135. So remember, Apple's trading for $138. I come in and say, you know what? I'm willing to guarantee a buy price of $135. But I got paid $5.25. That means I got paid around, 3-4% for 1 month just to agree to buy Apple. I would have bought it anyways. So when you combine this particular strategy with your real estate, you can create massive amounts of cash flow. The one thing that I've been lacking in real estate, I'm sure maybe yourself and a lot of other people, is cash flow. Whereas this strategy is very much cash flow centric. So that's how it works. We literally agree to buy our favorite companies for less than they're trading for, and we get paid for it. Now, the worst that's going to happen is we own it. So let's say, for example, there was a house for $1 million. And I go to the homeowner, I say, hey, homeowner, I know your house is worth $1 million. You and I both agree upon it. That's the market value. But how about I take it off your hands for $950,000 in the next month? I'll guarantee you it goes for $950,000. Even if it goes to $900,000, I'm still going to pay $950,000. But I want you to pay me $25,000 for the month. That's what I do on the stock side.
Awesome.
And I use that to buy real estate. So yeah, for your listeners and yourself, it's a great strategy to learn from. But it doesn't work as well in bear market and in down markets where you're just kind of holding. You're just holding and waiting for the bear market to end. But that's a lot better than losing money.
Yeah, I mean, not unless you sell your stock, right? I mean, you're still holding it.
Correct.
You're still making money. I remember when Apple was like at $40 or like, will they ever get to 100? Like, man, I don't know. You know, there'll be something.
And that's who knows how many times it's split by then too, right?
Oh, like, no, sure. Yeah. I mean, it's way more now, you know, it's yeah, for sure. Right. I remember years ago, man, I remember like the iPhone 3, you know, back in the day, man, like a long time ago.
And I'm to put that in perspective for you, I'll give you an example of what it costs. So back in September of 08, low, just that time frame, Apple was, it's at $138 now. It was at $3.19.
Yeah. So imagine like
138 now.
Yeah, I know, right? Saying like, hey, it's never gonna go to 100, right? Like, yeah, probably. Right. You know what I mean? Right. But it just happened, you know. But you have a great product. You got a company you trust, just trust in, and it's gonna keep growing, right? And worst case, like Warren Buffett says, if it's worth zero, you're still happy to own a piece of this company, right? See, so something like that, right?
If it's worth zero, you got a problem. But yeah, in the worst case scenario, you own the stock. Like Warren Buffett is a big holder of Apple. In fact, his company is the biggest holder of Apple in the world. Now, if Apple goes down in value, he's not going to freak out and panic and sell his shares. That's stupid. What he'll do is he'll use this exact strategy that I'm using to agree to buy more.
Sure.
So he uses this exact strategy as well. Like, for example, if he wants to buy more Apple at 130, do you think he's going to wait for it to go to 130? Or he'll just agree to buy it for 130 and get paid for it? Well,
he's waiting.
His financial state. Yeah. If you're waiting, you might as well get paid for it. It's the same thing, like I said, the real estate market. Go ahead.
No, and then how long is that option good for? Like, you know, for 30 days?
Well, it's just till December 16th. It's you pick the duration, right? So that's why we picked December 16th. So roughly about a month from now, I'm just agreeing to buy Apple for $135. Very simple concept. And the worst thing that's going to happen is I own Apple for $135 or lower. If Apple doesn't go to $135, I keep the $5.25 and I do it again for January. And I do it again for February. And I do it again for March. And the worst thing that happens to me is I own Apple. Well, I don't care. I'm totally cool with it. But that cash flow starts building. And that's the cash flow that I use to buy all my real estate.
That's super cool. So tell me a little bit about your platform and what does your ideal client, student look like?
Nobody. Anyone who wants financial freedom is pretty much it. Like, I know what it feels like at the gut of my stomach to be broke and have nothing. I know what it feels like. And I hated that feeling. And I'm sure there's lots of people out there who are in that feeling. You know, that situation, like if you have a job, have you know the reality? Because if you have like 2-3 kids, you got a job, you know how hard it is to get out of your job? It's really hard because you got bills to pay, you got a mortgage, you got kids' expenses. So for you to dream about opening a business one day or getting into real estate, it's not easy because you don't have additional capital, you don't have additional time. This strategy, because I can do it in 30 minutes a day, has allowed me to create additional capital in different areas where I didn't have to work anymore. So if I'm trading for 30 minutes a day at work, it's very doable because we all probably have 30 minutes free in you know, where lunchtime, et cetera, where you can make your trades. Now, remember, I already know my worst case scenario. I own Apple, so I don't have to look at my account all day long. The worst that'll happen to me. Now I can take all that money while I'm working. If I'm working for 30, you know, if I'm doing this for 30 minutes, now I take all that money and I buy my first piece of real estate. Then I use that to buy my second piece of real estate. And then I'm off to the races. If you don't have an additional way to save money or get capital without getting creative, this to me is the best way. And it's something that I think people should really look at if they have a job and they want a better future.
Yeah. And then you can use the IRA, 401k, self-managed, things like that for all this, for sure.
Yeah. I'm not sure with all the taxation rules because I'm a Canadian, but yeah, you should use your 401k and your IRA. You should be able to, yeah.
And my 12-year-old keeps asking me, Dad, I want to go to Canada. I'm like, all right, buddy, I'm going to take you in January. I tell him, right?
But it's the way. You probably want to pick a different month. It's a great country. Well, don't pick January, man. You might want to try June, July. Skip the January thing. My neighbor is Drake. I'll say hello to him for you when you're down.
Awesome. I tell him, he's like, I'm gonna go to Vancouver, Dad. I'm gonna go to Montreal. I want to go to Toronto. I'm like, all right, but I have no idea. Like, he just has it in his mind. We spent 30 days in Europe. He's like, I still want to go to Canada. I'm like, what the heck, you know? But I'll take him for sure. So one of the
Canada's
biggest
a lot like the U.S. It's a lot like the U.S. If you close your eyes, you wouldn't know where you were. Sorry, go ahead.
One of the things that I enjoyed chatting with you the first time was the fact that you use your trading strategy, right, to buy, you know, commercial real estate, and you have some, you know, short-term rentals. So it's kind of like a triangle, right? And you're involved in the long term. You're not commercial properties, right? It's just long-term wealth, and then the short term is like actually making, you know, money right away. And then you have your main strategy. So it's pretty cool. So I just subscribed to your YouTube channel. So now you just have a new subscriber.
All right. Well, we just started a little while ago. I'm actually posting a lot of videos now. I just started this thing a little while ago, so we didn't put much effort into it. But now we're releasing content frequently. And if you want to just get an idea what these things are, what is a naked put? What is a covered call? How does it work? How can I use it to my favor? Well, there's a whole bunch
of videos. If you guys out there, it's not a naked putt. You don't putt. Naked, like it's not golf.
Naked foot. And don't blame me. I didn't come up with these.
There's a rumor that I do this podcast in my underwear because it's called The Naked Truth. But I won't. Right. I won't confirm or deny that rumor. So we'll just leave it that way.
Right.
All right. You got Instagram or besides? I see a YouTube channel.
Yeah, Instagram Theta Trading. We started this company in 2019 for that sole reason, just so that people have an idea what's going on. And we've taught almost 2,000 people have taken our course. Since
awesome. So Theta Trading,
which is great. Yeah, Theta Trading. Yeah, yeah. And I'm not at all pushing any of that stuff. I'm just saying, whatever you do, your listeners, make yourself familiar with the concept of naked puts and covered calls. 99.9% of people will grow up not even knowing this exists. If you are one of the few who does know exists, and you're able to use it properly, it can literally change your life financially. That's what I'm saying.
Awesome. So how does somebody get a hold of you? How does somebody, if they want more information, what's the best route?
Yeah, just shoot me an email, omar@thetatradingco.com.
All right, say that one more time. It'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll just put it in the notes, okay?
All right, perfect.
So omar@thetatradingco.com. There we go. And I just put in the chat for you.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So just before I go to my favorite part of the show, so tell me a little bit about Canadian real estate. Just kind of tell me what do you see in it? What's it doing and all that?
Yeah. So Canadian real estate has gotten completely out of control. And same thing with U.S. real estate. What fueled real estate the last few years? Cheap money, right?
Yeah.
Cheap money. Feds pumping money, cheap money, rates cost nothing. I'll give you an example. So close to my home, there's a townhouse complex that's going up. Now it's a nice townhouse complex, but it's a townhouse complex. Now those prices in the springtime were starting at 1.4 million for 1,800 square feet townhouse. Okay, so to me, it got completely out of control.
Now, you're in Toronto.
I'm in a suburb of Toronto called Mississauga. Yeah. Right, and it's a big suburb, but I'm not even in the city. I'm in the burbs. In the city, these numbers are way worse. Okay. So in the burbs, you have townhouses going for 1.4 million. That is not sustainable because the income levels can't support that. So you had a rapid rise in property values directly correlated to how much money the government printed. Pretty much the exact same thing. Interest rates went down. They printed a bunch of money. Asset prices went berserk. And as they went more and more berserk, you had more and more speculation. People buying, pre-construction, three pre-constructions. I knew the game was over when my Uber driver told me about the three pre-constructions that he had just purchased. And I'm like, that's called a contrarian indicator. I was like, the jig is up, right? And sure enough, the jig was up. So Canadian real estate, at least Toronto real estate, peaked right around February, March. Since then, Javier, it's probably declined about 30%. And as long as rates keep going up, it's going to keep declining. So, and we have had a major bull market here in Toronto since 1999 to 2022. So people had gotten this misconception that real estate can only go up. I can't lose. You know, I'll buy, it doesn't matter what I buy, I'm going to make a killing on it. Now that's not true anymore. And now you're starting to see defaults, bankruptcies, people panicking, lawsuits. And unfortunately, because of how much speculation there was in the market, I think there's more of that to come. Now, I always buy, you know, properties for cash flow, so I don't really care what the price is because I'm not selling. But now there's going to be a phenomenal opportunity to buy. So I've been going up north, looking at lake houses.
Further north? Antarctica? No, is that, no, Antarctica is where? I don't even know where that's at.
It's like, maybe about an hour and a half north of Toronto. Okay. It gets chilly up there, but there's beautiful lakes up there. And the thing is, in Toronto, there's a lot of money in Toronto. So people want these luxury vacation properties. I've never owned any Airbnb short-term rentals. Never have I done that. But that's something I am now looking to add to my arsenal because I want that greater cash flow. I want something that's recession resilient. Now, those properties I've been looking at, to give you an idea, I'm looking at one. They were asking for 2.3. They got an offer for 2.2 in February. They said no. Now they're down to 1.8 and they just reduced it to 1.5 and I'll be able to pick that thing up for 1.3. Nice. That's a big decline. But it just shows you the state of real estate in Canada. Vancouver is even worse. Vancouver was like, you know, your any detached property is over $2 million. Any detached property. And I know these crazy prices because Canada, what Canada also has a lot of is we have all kinds of foreigners from all kinds of different countries parking their money into Canada. So a lot of people from Hong Kong and China with these lockdowns bought properties in Vancouver because of the proximity. Toronto also benefits from that. So, but now property prices are really falling. I'm not sure how it is in the States. Well, we got a problem.
I was in Toronto in early 2019 and I saw some cap rates like 2 or 3%. I'm like, holy crap, down. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
And I was meeting with some folks and they're like, yeah, you know, they had some family members just ended up buying like a whole bunch of real estate and the units were vacant. They didn't even lease them out. They just threw $4 or $5 million at some really nice luxury townhomes downtown and they weren't even being leased. They just wanted to put the money somewhere, right? Like, oh, wow. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. But you know, there's definitely going to be some opportunity out there for the folks that are creative, hanging out in the right locations, taking the right education, connecting with the right people. I would say, hey, connect, network, join a mastermind, get a coach, get a mentor because, you know, especially somebody that's been through the process in the past, right? Now you're going to know, you're going to have a little bit of a leg up on the market and be able to see opportunities when everybody just sees panic, right? So I appreciate you. I'm coming on the show. And before I let you go, I'm going to switch over to the best part of the show here, which is I'm going to ask you three random questions. I'm going to pull out the truth roulette and it'll be three random questions. And while I do that, Omar, let me know if there's anything else you'd like to say before we transition.
Now, thanks for having me on. And I really encourage people to take just further your scope of knowledge because everything all boils down to knowledge. The more you know, the more you learn, the more you earn, the more you learn. And I really, really believe that.
Awesome. Cool. All so right, you see my screen. You see it?
Yeah.
Ready? Yeah. All right, here we go. Three random questions for Omar all the way from Canada via Ireland.
Pakistan.
There we go. Awesome. So what we got?
Like Wheel of Fortune here, but
oh man, look
celebrity
at that.
Celebrity on a date.
So if you could take any celebrity on a date, who would it be?
Penelope Cruz.
All right. You know what? Yeah, definitely for sure. Yeah. Awesome. That's definitely a good choice. Good choice. Yeah. Awesome. All right, let's go. Next question. All right. What is a show that you've been watched?
I specifically don't watch TV for this reason because I know if I watch one show, it'll ruin my life. The last one I watched was that Squid Game. My kids were watching the background. I put on one episode, one, and my entire day was ruined watching that damn show. I'm back to back.
Of course. Of course.
Squid Game was the last one, but I go out of my way not to watch this stuff because I know how addictive it is.
Oh, man, that's good though, right? Get your attention. Awesome. Cool. All right, let's go. Last question. No, hey, I put that one like five times because I want my. Let's continue. All right, favorite food.
Favorite food to me is, if you've ever had Indian Pakistani food, to me that is the best tasting food in the world. All right. I cannot go more than 5 days without it. I will literally stab somebody after 5 days if I don't have access to that food.
All right, so I'm 43, and I had Indian food for the first time last year. Some good friends of ours here, wow. Shutri and Anshal, they live here in Apex, Cary area, Holly Springs, here in North Carolina. And they invited my wife and I to have Indian food. After we had dinner, I was on the way home. I was extremely upset. And my wife said, "What's going on?" I said, "We have been missing out for like 42 years," I told her. You know, I can't believe we had never had Indian food. And now we have it at least, you know, once a month, right? Sometimes twice a month.
Yeah.
It's delicious. So, and there's all
that's kinds, my favorite food.
It's not like one, there's like 50 different variances of Indian food. It's crazy.
Yeah, it tastes great. As long as you can make it healthy, it is phenomenal taste-wise. I love it. So that's my favorite.
All right, Omar, you saw.
I love that game. Thank you.
Thanks, and you survived the Naked Truth Roulette.
Thanks, appreciate that.
Awesome. Well, Omar, appreciate you being on the show, and we got your contact details. Check out YouTube channel. We got the email for your company, for your coaching program. Anybody out there want more information? Want to get involved in learning how to putt naked? You know, something like that. Go ahead and reach out to Omar, and he's had over 2,000 students, and he uses his trading in the stocks to buy commercial real estate and also buy short-term rentals. Thank you, Omar, for being on the show.
Oh, thanks, Javier, for having me on. Much appreciated.
I am Javier, your host. Don't lose your shirt. Just as promised, I like to give out free stuff, some tools and tips that's actually helped me in my business. There's nothing out there like getting some free stuff that people have spent a lot of time, energy, in putting together. It's like a referral. Somebody asked me for an electrician. You don't know what kind of brain damage I had to go through to give you this good referral for an electrician. You got to appreciate referrals from people, okay? Because they went through a lot to find that one good person. So I'm going to give you my due diligence template for buying apartment buildings. It's attached to monday.com. It is an affiliate link, so they're going to send me a kickback. Not a lot, but a little bit. But you can either download it as an Excel, or you can put it on monday.com. Monday.com is pretty cool because it's a project management platform software. It's super cool. I use it all the time for my social media, for my team, tracking deals, doing tasks for everybody. It's actually pretty good. You can track construction. It's a project management platform. It's really cool. Monday, like the day, monday.com. So my due diligence checklist is there for free for you.
This has been The Naked Truth. Our mission is to give it to you raw. If you got value from this episode, you're invited to leave an honest written review and share this episode with a friend. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.